And now, the life of Mary Southern. Yesterday, Dr. John Benson had to tell Max that his friend Cheney had died of injuries received in the prison fire. Max is stunned by the news, and the fact that Cheney died heroically is a little comfort to him. Dr. Benson and Dr. Tracy, prison surgeon, are fearful that this sad news may have a serious effect upon Max's health, especially now that Max is not recovering from his injuries as rapidly as he should. Dr. Benson has his troubles, too. Merlin Davis, who has great influence with the workers in the town of Sanders, has threatened to have Dr. Benson discharged from his clinic if little Betty Dillon, Davis's niece, does not recover from an infection in her knee. Dr. Benson, however, is more concerned over Max, since the warden has just filed a detailed report of the prison fire, naming Swede Larson and Max Sanders as chronic troublemakers at the state prison. Swede and Max, the warden claims, set the prison on fire in order to make their escape. It is early the next afternoon at County Hospital. Dr. Benson and Dr. Tracy are seated at a table in the sunroom, mapping a campaign to checkmate the warden's full support of the prison fire.
But confound it, Dr. Benson. I say let's give our side of it to the papers this afternoon.
Now, just a minute, Dr. Tracy.
Benson, I say let's get started on this thing immediately.
Now, Tracy, let's go into this with our eyes open.
My eyes are wide open. I see so much treachery and double-dealing, it makes me sick. We've got to stop Warden Bird within the next 24 hours.
Of course. But, Doctor, look at it my way. I don't want to rush into anything that might work against us later on. I have too much at stake if the warden wins out.
You have too much at stake. Good heavens, I'm willing to risk my job, my reputation, everything.
I understand, Dr. Tracy.
But do you? I have a wife and children. You have no family.
No, I suppose I haven't. Although I'd like to think of all those children back there at the clinic who depend on me.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to be rude, but confound it, I've always believed in striking while the iron is hot, and that time is now.
That's the blacksmith in you, Tracy.
Well, I believe in speaking up, saying my say and getting it over with.
Now, let's look at it this way. You want to call in the reporters and give them the whole story at once.
Exactly.
But what could we say to them?
Well, I, for one, would accuse Warden Bullard of being a thief and a liar.
And do you have the proof all neatly outlined? Would you file a complete report on what you know of the warden's mismanagement of state prison?
Well, that might take, a week or 10 days. But in the meantime...
But in the meantime, we'd be left high and dry, with no organized statements and the warden holding the ace cards.
Well, perhaps you're right, Dr. Benson. But I believe in beating your opponent to the punch, always.
But don't you see, Dr. Tracy, the warden has already beaten us to the punch. The first one, at least.
Benson, you're right. Absolutely right. We've got to think ahead to the next move.
Thanks, Dr. Tracy. Thought you'd see my point.
Oh, I don't mind owning up when I'm in the wrong. Just hate to see that warden put one over on us, that's all
right. Now, the warden's accusation will get into the papers this evening. We can't stop that, except to keep the news from Max. The shock might do him grave injury.
Ah, I've warned everyone not to say a word.
Now, let's consider the odds against us. First, if we can't beat the warden, Max's name will be hopelessly blackened forever, whether he lives or dies.
Yes. Go on.
In the next place, Swede's parole will never come through if he's suspected of having aided in such a crime.
Yes, he's up for the parole board next month. Well, we've got to stop this in a hurry.
Take it easy, Doctor. As you've said, your reputation is at stake because you were on the firing line when all this happened.
Well, I'm willing to risk everything, Dr. Benson, everything.
I never thought you'd look at it that way.
You yourself, Dr. Benson, have a great deal to lose if we can't refute the warden's story.
Yeah, I thought of all that, too. Gerald Proust will persuade Merlin Davis and the hospital board that I shirked my duty at the clinic to come to the aid of Mary's husband and his fellow convicts. Jailbirds, as Proust so nicely puts it.
They can't get away with it.
And Gerald Proust has already told me that nothing would please him better than to have me dismissed from the clinic.
He said that?
Well, in so many words. But that's neither here nor there. We do have one thing in our favor, Tracy. The papers are full of the story of the prison fire, and Max, Swede, and Cheney are being praised from one end of the state to the other.
Yes, that's right. And when the Prisoners' Aid Society hears of the warden's trickery, we'll have the most outstanding citizens on our side.
Well, can't depend too much upon well-wishers, though they'll help, of course.
Hello. It's Swede out in the hall. I can see him through the glass.
Sit still, Doctor. I'll let him in.
Well, sweet. Thought you were in your room, sparking that pretty little nurse.
Oh, Doc, Doc, you're fooling. No, I just thought I'd take this buggy for a workout.
Well, sweet, we're having a little war conference here.
Perhaps I'd better tell you, sweet.
It's okay, Doc. I read all about it in the morning papers.
You didn't let Max see that paper?
Well, no, sir. I knew what it upset him.
Oh, good, good. Max mustn't hear a word of this until he's entirely well.
Sweet, what do you know about this whole mess that Warden Bullard cooked up?
Tell Dr. Benson what you told me last week, Larkin. You know, just before the fire.
Well, there's not much to tell. The food was getting worse and worse. Not much of it, but we couldn't have eaten any more of it anyhow, I guess. The blankets on the bed were, well, not what you could call clean or fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was getting pretty sore, but we didn't say anything.
And then, as I understand it, you, Max, and Cheney were appointed by the prisoners to talk to the warden.
Yes, sir. That's how I first got acquainted with Max and Cheney. Well, we went up there on special permission, and the warden was up there waiting for us, looking like he just swallowed vinegar.
Mm. Firm believer in strict discipline, as he called it.
I see.
Then Max spoke up. He took off his cap and talked like a gentleman, too, and told the warden we'd have a couple of matters we'd like to bring to his attention if he didn't mind.
How'd he take it?
Well, he bit another chunk out of his cigar and did sort of funny-like. Well, boys, what's on your mind? Max told him that the food was getting worse every day and the beds weren't clean. The fellas were afraid of a fire.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we were working with celluloid, making handles for pocket knives. You see, only the blades were put on outside the prison.
I see. Well, what did the warden say to all that?
Well, he put down a cigar and then he leaned over his desk and he says, "Listen, you fellas ain't in here for no picnic. You enemies of society. Plain ordinary jailbirds." He said that to us, Doc.
No. Take it easy, sweet.
Well, exactly, Doc. We fellas weren't any angels, but, well, we were entitled to some consideration. Well, I told him, I said, "We're human beings. You shouldn't talk to us like that." And he said, "I'll talk to you any way I like. I won't stand for insubordination from the likes of you."
Yes, ma'am.
And then he took one look at me and he said, "I'll teach you a lesson you won't forget." And then he put me in solitary for 10 days.
Dr. Tracy, I'll have a stenographer sent in to take down Swede's statement in full. And I'll have it notarized immediately.
And I'll prepare my report at once.
Let them have their lying headlines. We'll give them papers with a real story.
By George, I think I'm going to enjoy this scrap. We'll show them a thing or two ourselves.
Gee, Doc Benson, I'll bet you can do it, too.
We just bet we can.
Oh, hello, Mr. Sanders.
How do you do, Mr. Sanders? Oh, here. Sit down here by the window.
Mary, I thought you were at home.
Johnny, why didn't you tell me? Why did you let me find it out first from this newspaper?
Mary, believe me, I learned it only myself yesterday, after you'd gone home to the children of Phyllis.
Those ugly lies spread over the country about Max. Johnny, you could have stopped them.
Mary, how can you say that to me?
I do think you're being a little unfair, Mrs. Sanders. Believe me, Dr. Benson has been doing all he can.
Why must this thing happen to us? What has Max ever done to be so hounded? Has he always been kind and good to everyone? Not right, I tell you.
There now, Mary. We'll stick by you and Max no matter what happens. We'll lick this thing yet.
John, how can we? Just before I left home, Gerald Proust came to the house with a newspaper in his hand.
Gerald Proust? What now?
He wanted to buy my stock in Sanders' interest at 1/5 its real value. Said he'd get it all sooner or later because Max and I were a disgrace to the town.
Victory seems very near for Gerald Proust. How like him to strike at Mary in such a way as this?